your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Wednesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, April 14th, 2021. Your boy Q here, as always. Of course, got a loaded show for you, as I do on the daily, so I'm very excited about that. I do want to get into a couple things before we get into the teeth of the show. And first, I want to give you a reminder that coming up on Friday, former Raiders punter Marquette King, he'll be on the show. The conversation I had with him on Monday evening will be on the show. And I know a couple people hit me up on Twitter and was like, Q, hold on, how are you going to leave us hanging and make us wait all week long to listen to it? But I'll tell you, man, it was so real and it was so raw and it was so just, you know, at the spur of the moment, I didn't want to just throw it onto the podcast and just say, oh, here you go, have at it. I wanted to be able to promote it properly. So going to promote it throughout the course of the week, and we'll finish off the week really, really strong on Friday with a really good interview. I feel like that wasn't really even an interview style. It was just more, like I said, a one-on-one conversation, almost like I'm sitting at a bar and all of a sudden he comes walking in and we just spark up a conversation. That's almost how it went down. That's kind of how it felt, and that's why it was really, really a fun conversation. So I'm definitely looking forward to putting that on the podcast, but that'll be coming up on Friday's show, so do not forget about that. Also, man, I had a lot going on Tuesday. I did about 30 minutes on Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas. We talked about a bunch of different subjects. Hopefully, you got a chance to check that out. If not, look at ESPN Las Vegas, their Twitter account, or Cofield & Company. They always tweet out the interviews and stuff like that and the whole show. And that was a lot of fun, man. And I really enjoy being on with Cofield & Company. Then, sometime today, you can look out for the Vegas Nation podcast with Heidi Fang. We recorded this on Monday, and I think it should be released sometime today, so be on the lookout for that. She does a really good job on that Vegas Nation podcast, and she had me a part of that. And then also on Tuesday, I did a guest hit on Inside the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920, and I'll tell you right now, man, that's always a lot of fun. So ESPN Las Vegas, Vegas Nation podcast, and Inside the Huddle, all in Vegas. If that's not a dedication to Vegas, I'm not sure what is. And really, I tell you all that because I wanted to bring to you a quote from Nick Saban, Alabama head football coach Nick Saban. Very short and simple. And sometimes things like this, I need to remember. And I know sometimes people will hear something like this and say, yes, that's right, I need to remember this as well. So I told you all those different shows that I did, all Vegas related. This quote from Nick Saban: know what you want to accomplish and focus on the process rather than the outcome. That is a quote from Nick Saban. So a lot of times we want to get to the finish line, but we got to just go through the process. We got to know what every step is, what every step that we got to do, what we have to do to really get to accomplish our goals, and then we will get there and we will achieve our goals. But we got to focus on the process. And so when I tell you I was on Cofield & Company, ESPN Las Vegas, when I tell you I was on Vegas Nation Podcast with Heidi Fang, and when I tell you I was on with Vinny Bonsignore from Raider Nation Radio, all part of the process, all Vegas related, it's going to lead to the ultimate outcome, which will be me being in the 702 on the daily. That is the ultimate goal, and so I got to focus on the process instead of the outcome, and I encourage anyone in Raider Nation to do the same with whatever you're trying to get accomplished in life. Now, coming up on the show today, I told you that Vinny Bonsignore and myself, I talked on Raider Nation Radio Inside the Huddle. Had a nice guest appearance on that. I talked to him at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on his show, and so I'm going to bring you that conversation. It's about 20 minutes long, not too lengthy, but I'm going to bring that conversation to you in segment number 3 and segment number 2, just all kind of Raider talk, talking about John Gruden, talking about where the team is when he took it over to where it is right now, talking about the draft. I mean, we just talked all things silver and black. I thought it was a lot of good conversation, including some mock draft talk as well. So that's going to come up in segment number 2 and segment number 3. Here in segment number 1, news in the notes of the day, some news and notes around the Raiders, some sound that I want you to hear about different guys that could potentially be Raiders following the draft. I want to give you an update on what a couple of these draft analysts, who they have the Raiders taken and why. Got a lot of stuff to get to, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. And off top, let's talk about what the NFL put out on Tuesday. They informed teams that any team employee who refuses a COVID-19 vaccination without bona fide medical or religious ground will be barred from tier 1 or tier 2 status and will have restricted access within the team facility and not work directly with players. So that's major right there. So that basically lets it be known, if you don't go and get your vaccination, which is not required, you don't have to do it, well, you're not going to have access to the team. You won't be tier one, tier two. You won't be able to work directly with the players. So basically it's like, hey, go get your vaccination. Even though you don't have to, you really have to if you want to have the full access to the team. Also, discussions continued on Tuesday between the NFL and the NFLPA about what form of offseason programs will take. They're scheduled for Monday start, right? That's what the offseason, the voluntary workouts are supposed to start on Monday. Union wants all virtual and has urged players to boycott otherwise. Everything prior to training camp is voluntary other than one mandatory mini camp in June. Broncos, Seattle, Tampa Bay, all those players have already put out a statement saying that they were not going to show up to offseason voluntary camp. Instead, they want to be safe. They want to err on the side of caution. Again, the NFLPA sent a letter to all players recommending that that's exactly what they do. Do not show up because of the pandemic. Well, the funny thing about that is the Broncos have had 22 players work out at the facility this offseason. The Cowboys have had 25. A dozen teams have had 15 or more. So while the NFLPA and players emphasize safety issues of return to facilities, many are already there at the facility. And my guy, Vinny Bonsignor from Raider Nation Radio 920 and the Las Vegas Review Journal said the Raider players will meet today to talk about OTAs. And then he said, there's no way to really know which direction the Raiders will go on this, but it's worth noting that players have been working together on their own at local parks in Las Vegas and at the team's headquarters in Henderson. Sense is that they're ready to get to work. And then Vinny doubled down and said, also regarding NFL and the OTAs, some in the league have indicated privately the league's decision to move to 17 games is likely driving part of this response from the NFLPA to not show up. So it sounds like a chess match going on between the NFLPA and the NFL. And they're saying, and they're using the COVID and being safe, they're using that as the backbone and the basis of their argument, when most likely it's the 17 games is the real basis of their argument or the real reason why they're making this argument. So there it is. The Raiders, you should probably find out sometime today if they're going to decide to show up for mandatory minicamp, not mandatory, voluntary minicamp, which starts on Monday, or if they decide to kind of boycott it like a lot of other teams across the league are going to do. Next up, I wanted you to hear some sound from Chad Reeder. He's from NFL.com. He's a draft analyst. He gave his thoughts on TCU safety Trayvon Merrick. He's a guy that's been mocked multiple times by multiple guys, and I know a lot of Raider Nation is like, hey, that's a heck of a safety. Maybe the Raiders go and get him at number 17. Here's Chad's thoughts on Merrick.
Trayvon Merrick won the 2020 Jim Thorpe Award, beating out two other outstanding defenders in Patrick Surtain and Richie Grant. He was the leader of the TCU secondary and has an all-around game that reminds me of Bengals starter Jesse Bates. Merrick is good reading plays in the backfield and has the speed to come downhill to snuff them out. He is a very good tackler in the open field, taking correct angles and using his length to securely wrap his target. He likes to make big hits on the sideline or over the middle, and has been known to throw a smaller ball carrier to the ground. His height and athleticism come in handy in coverage, as he's able to stay with receivers, running backs, and tight ends downfield. Merrick has good ball skills, able to high point passes in the air to make the interception. He's also able to work his way around a receiver for the pass breakup, and also fight with his man for the ball while he's trying to make a catch. Merrick's frame is a bit more slight than some teams like in their safeties. He's also a bit linear and tight in the hips, which may cause him problems against NFL receivers. He also could be more consistent finding the ball in the air when one-on-one, and also keeping his head up when trying to make an open field tackle. Merrick will likely be a long-time starter, however, because of his athleticism, tenacity, and football IQ. If he is not picked in round one, it won't take long for him to hear his name called in round two.
So there's Chad Reeder from NFL.com talking about TCU safety Trayvon Merrick and the fact that if he doesn't go in round one, which many people anticipate, then he'll go early in round two. And just for the record, he has him going 39th overall, which is in round two, to the Panthers. So that's where he has Trayvon Merrick mocked. Now, he did a four-round mock draft, and he had the Raiders taking Virginia Tech offensive tackle Christian Darrisaw in round one at number 17, saying trading Trent Brown to the Patriots created a big hole at the right tackle spot. Darrisaw has the strength and athleticism to play either side of the line, even though he's stuck on the blind side during his career at Virginia Tech. So, Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle, Virginia Tech, round one at number 17. Then at number 48 overall, which is in round two, he had the Raiders taking Javon Holland, safety out of Oregon, ball hawk right there. Then in round three, number 79 overall, Kelvin Joseph, cornerback at Kentucky. Then, number 80 overall, they got back-to-back picks in the third round. Dillon Moses, linebacker at Alabama, and then closes things out in round four with Aaron Banks, offensive guard from Notre Dame, at number 121. So in his four-round mock draft that he has for the Raiders, he has them filling basically all their needs. Offensive tackle, offensive guard, and defense. A safety, a corner, and a linebacker. And Dillon Moses, I know he's not the Dillon Moses he was a couple years ago from Alabama, but, I mean, if he's not going to be a guy that's going to immediately start and you're just looking for a playmaker, he might be a guy that's a good spot in round three. You know, I'm really intrigued. We talk about the first round a lot. We talk about the second round a lot. I'm really intrigued by the 2 third-round picks. The Raiders had 2 third-round picks a year ago, and they came away with Lynn Bowden Jr. out of Kentucky, who was supposed to be the wild card guy, the jack of all trades, and then they came away with Bryan Edwards, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. So Bryan Edwards is still on the team, and we all know Lynn Bowden Jr. is now in Miami. So what will they do this year with 79 and 80, 2 third-round picks? Again, Mike Mayock, in his words, third-round picks should be starters. So who can you get that are going to be some quality players in that third round when you have back-to-back picks? I love the Raiders having those back-to-back picks, so we'll see exactly what they do with it. Now, one thing that did take me for a little bit of a loop, Chad Reeder also put out a piece on an ideal top 2 picks for every team in the draft. And so with the Raiders, I figured, okay, at number 17 overall, he's going to pick Christian Darrisaw. Nope, that was not the case. He actually, at number 17 overall, picked Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State, which I know a lot of Raider Nation really likes Tevin Jenkins. They heard about him on the podcast on Tuesday when Scott Wright from the Oklahoman was talking about him and talking about how he built up that nasty streak. He wasn't always that nasty, tough guy, but he built that up, and that's a good thing that he built it up in college instead of trying to build that up in the NFL. So Reeder has the Raiders taking Tevin Jenkins at offensive tackle at 17, and in round 2, number 48 overall, Javon Holland, safety out of Oregon. So there you go. Those are the two guys. He says GM Mike Mayock and head coach John Gruden traded offensive tackle Trent Brown to the Patriots in March, leaving a big hole on the O-line. Jenkins would fit in quite well, as his nasty attitude and strength are just what offensive line coach Tom Cable appreciates. Teaming a nickel safety like Holland with the hard-hitting Jonathan Abram and veteran presence of Jeff Heath should pay dividends next season. So there you go. I will say in his 4-round mock draft, he had Jenkins going to the Chiefs at number 25 overall. So take that for what it's worth. But just wanted to kind of give you an update and let you know where some people are seeing the Raiders going, and even Reeder going as far as going 4 rounds deep on his mock draft. And that's why I brought it to you. I thought that was kind of cool that he went 4 rounds deep instead of just 1 or 2 rounds deep. And now my final little soundbite that I want to bring to you is actually something I've been trying to bring to you for a couple days now. And this is Jim Mora, former head coach in the NFL, former head coach in college. He's worked with defensive coordinator Gus Bradley. This is a little piece coming from SI's Raider Maven. I saw it on Twitter, and Jim Mora was being asked about defensive coordinator Gus Bradley, and he shares his thoughts. I thought this was pretty cool. Going to close out segment number one. Check it out.
Well, so when I was head coach of the Seattle Seahawks, Gus was my defensive coordinator. Okay. It was his first defensive coordinator role, and I've stayed in touch with him, so I know him well. And I think that one of Gus's strengths is he gets buy-in from his players, and it's a very player-friendly system. You can become too complex sometimes, and you can stymie the athleticism that your players have because they're having to think too much rather than just react. And what Gus will do is implement a system that shows enough variance that offensive teams can't just draw a beat on him, but has enough carryover from call to call where players are able to play fast and play with certainty. When you're certain, man, you can play fast, you can play downhill, you can cut it loose, and Gus does a great job of creating that type of scheme, but he does an even greater job of selling it to the players. So he gets buy-in. So they're like, yeah, this makes sense to me. Yeah, I get this. Yeah, I want to play for this guy. And he's an excellent motivator. You know, at times, you know, some might say he's a little cheesy, but man, the players, they like him and they want to play for him. They want to perform for him and they trust him. And that is a huge word. They trust what he's going to tell them is going to help them have success on a down-to-down basis. It's going to help elongate their career. It's going to earn them more money. They're going to win more games. They're going to have more individual success. He just kind of has that infectious personality. I think it was a great hire. And he knows John. You know, they have kind of similar backgrounds with Tampa and Gus. He's a special one. He really is, you know, and it didn't work out for him as a head coach, but everywhere he's been as a defensive coordinator, he's shown the ability to have success.
So there's former head coach in the NFL and in college, Jim Mora, right there. And, you know, he's just talking about Gus Bradley. And really, man, a lot of the things that he was saying is something that we've been talking about here on the podcast quite a bit. You know, it's not so complex where these guys have to think. If you think, you don't react slowly. You've got to be able to just go out there and perform. You've got to be able to go out there and react quickly. Just boom, boom, boom. Just go. Just cut it loose is something he said. Also, he said that players trust him. I don't think the players trusted Paul Gunther. I don't think the players trusted that Paul Gunther was setting them up for success. And so again, you play slow when you don't have a trust and when you're trying to figure out what this guy is trying to tell you what to do. So I don't want to sit here and drink the Kool-Aid and be like, oh my gosh, Gus Bradley's going to go work a miracle with the Raiders and they're going to be just this lockdown defense and they're going to be the second coming of the Legion of Boom. But I definitely believe that they'll be in a lot better position than they were with Paul Gunther a year ago. I do think the team has talent. They just got to find a way to maximize it. They still need some difference makers, don't get me wrong, but they need to find a way to maximize the talent that they have, and it's up to Gus Bradley to get it done. And I just, hearing Jim Mora talk about him and knowing him as close as he does just gives me a lot more confidence that he's going to find a way to get it done. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, part one of my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor from Inside the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio 920. We had that on Tuesday. You'll hear that next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get into that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. Best tasting protein bar ever. Hands down, that's what it is. They've got so many different flavors to choose from. I mean, back in the day, they had 18 amazing flavors, but they continue to expand that. They continue to come up with some new flavors that you may never have had and you might want to try. BuiltBar.com, check them out. You can get any kind of flavors you want. You can mix and match your box, whatever you want to do. It does not matter. Maybe you have some favorites that you had back in the day, and that's the one you want. That's cool. But maybe you see one like that white chocolate birthday cake, and you say, yeah, I'll give that a try, man. I know Q said it kind of tastes like a candy bar, but I'm going to give it a try. Maybe that's your style. Go for it. Just check it out. Either way you look at it, man, the bars are still 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They'll help you lose or maintain weight while you're enjoying a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. So again, just check them out today. BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCK15 when you check out. You're going to get 15% off your order just like that. That's LOCK15 for 15% off your order at BuiltBar.com. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part one of my conversation I had with Vinny Bonsignor from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, also Raider Nation Radio 920. I was on his show on Tuesday, and it was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun joining the show and talking some Raiders football, and got into a big conversation about a lot of different subjects. And it's funny because I feel like I kind of walked into the middle of a big barn burner fight, you know, and he even said it. You'll hear him talk about it at the very beginning that, you know, he was arguing with his producer. He was arguing with some of the fans, talking about the direction that the team has gone and is going since John Gruden has taken over. So it was a lot of fun, man, and hopefully you enjoy this conversation as well. Here is part one of my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor inside the huddle on Raider Nation Radio 920.
Broadcasting live from the Raiders practice facility at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center. This is the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
We're going to go right out to the Raider Nation guest line. Welcome in our good friend Q Myers. You can follow him at your boy Q254. He's the host of UNR 3 to 6 p.m. on Fox Sports Central Texas, AM 1530 and 93.9 FM. Q, thank you so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. I need you to be the arbitrator here for me real quick, Q. My producer, Damon, and some listeners, some recent callers, they don't believe that any progress has really been made under John Gruden here with the Raiders. And I think otherwise. I think last year the 8-8 looked a whole lot different than the 7-9 the year before. The 7-9 team, after a while, was just getting, you know, the walls blown off of them. They just didn't look competitive. The 8-8 team that I saw, even in their losses last year, they were extremely competitive. Should have won a couple games they lost. It's neither here nor there. They weren't ready to win those games. But I think that there's been progress made. I don't think they're just throwing things up against the wall, trying to see what sticks. I think there's a plan. Not all decisions work out. And they're going about it fairly methodically, trying to get this right in the right sort of a way. Am I right or wrong in that, Q?
No, I think you're right. I really do. And I don't mind calling anybody out if I think that, you know, you're wrong. I'd be like, hey, no, Vinny, you were wrong. But in this scenario, man, I think that the Raiders attacked the offseason last year knowing that defense was their Achilles heel. And they went and attacked it. And they tried to address it as much as they could in free agency and in the draft. And like you said, every decision doesn't work out. You know, they brought in some guys that didn't quite work out the way that they were supposed to. I mean, Corey Littleton was a great example. You know, he was stuck in Paul Gunther's system that seemed like it just had too many moving parts and he wasn't able to play up to his potential. You know the talent's there. You've seen it. So you're assuming, and that's dangerous sometimes, but you're assuming that Gus Bradley is going to be able to get him turned around. You know, they went and addressed the corner position. They went and got Damon Arnette early. They went and got, you know, guys that they feel like could be players on this team, and it just – it didn't shake out for one reason or the other, but at least they didn't ignore the fact that, hey, there's a problem here and just keep going and trying to address the offense and improve it. I mean, even at the beginning of the season and training camp, Vinny, and you know for a fact, Paul Gunther was giddy over the fact that he had a whole bunch of different starters and a whole bunch of different players on that defensive side of the ball. It just didn't work out that way. I think the reason most people feel the way that they feel right now is because of the collapse from last season, and they feel like, well, that's 2 years in a row where they've had that collapse. And I get that. That's a, you know, being a kind of a prisoner of the moment and what you see last. So that's why I think people feel that way.
I agree. But even that collapse, what there were different dynamics. That collapse right. 2 years ago were, you know, because I got there, my first game covering the Raiders last year was against, the year before, was against the Jets, and it was just a bloodbath. They just got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then it was a series of just blowouts from that point, basically. And, but down the stretch last year, yes, they lost games. They collapsed. There's no way to, other way to describe it. But those games that they lost, 19 seconds left against the Miami Dolphins,
right,
losing in overtime to the Chargers.
Right.
A minute 43, the offense gives the lead to the defense against the Kansas City Chiefs. Those were all competitive games, and even throughout the year, except for the Atlanta Falcon game, they were competitive throughout those games. And I'm not here about, I'm not talking about moral victories. That's bunk. I'm not trying to say right. that we should give them a sticker because they were competitive. But if you're trying to gauge progress, that has to be taken into account, I would think.
I mean, yeah, no doubt. And again, I mean, ultimately, they won 8 games. The year before, they won 7 games. I mean, that is a step in the right direction. I don't care how many you know, different ways you say, well, they got lucky because they won that Jets game at the end. Okay, but it was a dub. You know, I mean, you could say Miami got lucky and won that game against the Raiders at the end. I mean, there's a lot of games that you could say were won at the end that people could feel as lucky. So, yeah, I do think it's headed in the right direction. Now, I will say, for anyone who says that it's not, they're probably saying, well, there was no playoff berth and there was no playoff appearance. And I will say that that's disappointing. The team should have been a playoff team in 2020. I believe they were built to be a playoff team in 2020. Of course, again, it didn't shake out that way, and there's no moral victories like you mentioned. It's all about wins and losses, and in 2019, they had 6 wins and looked like they were going to be a good team and possibly make it to the playoffs, and then they lost down the stretch. 2020, had 6 wins, looked like they were going to be a really good team and make the playoffs, and then they lost down the stretch. So that's where everyone's saying, hey, it's the same team, there's no progress. I do think there's progress, but that next step has to be taken, and it hasn't been taken just yet.
We're talking to Q Myers, our good friend Q Myers. Where do you stand with the drafts that John Gruden and Mike Mayock have put together? Is it bust? Did they not get it right? Where do you stand on the drafts? I think it's too early. It's still too early to tell in some cases. I mean, we're talking about 1 year for some of these guys and 2 years for others. But where do you stand on the drafts that they've put together?
Well, I think the 2019 draft, we saw a lot more production from the players that they got than you saw from the 2020 draft. And that has a lot to do with a lot of different circumstances. You know, they moved from Alameda to Las Vegas in the offseason of the 2020 season. There was COVID, a worldwide pandemic. There was a lot of issues that they had to deal with. They were a very young team and didn't have really the veteran leadership. But, you know, I don't want to use that as an excuse because everyone had to deal with COVID. Every team had a lot of young young players. Not every team, but a lot of teams had young players. You know, not every team had to move their headquarters, but still, I mean, those are circumstances that were in front of them. I just think that there was a lot of things that were playing against the team and just a lot of not knowing. You know, I think Jonathan Abram being a second-year guy, but really being a rookie, I think that showed, you know, and reared its ugly head in 2020. And I think that he has an opportunity now to see what he did wrong in 2020 and say, okay, I'm not a rookie anymore. I won't make that rookie mistake, because ultimately that was like his rookie year. So I feel like that there was some positive steps, that there really was. The draft, I think their players are quality. Like, I think Damon Arnette could be a dog. I really do. We talked about him before. I think he'd be a really good player at the defensive back position. I like the intensity that he brings, the tenacity that he brings. You know, he's kind of got an edge to him, a little bit of chip on his shoulder, but he's got to stay on the field, you know, and that was a big issue for a lot of the Raiders in 2020. Guys couldn't stay on the field, whether it was injury or COVID related, but they weren't able to stay on the field. So that also played a factor. But again, I don't want to use injuries. I don't want to use COVID as a factor and a reason and an excuse to get by, because every team deals with injuries. Every team deal with COVID. It's just something that you got to find a way to overcome. And for the Raiders in 2020, they weren't able to overcome it.
Yeah, and if you look at who did make the playoffs last year, and I'm racing through my mind thinking of the teams that did make the playoffs. Generally speaking, you're talking about veteran teams that made the playoffs. And I don't think there's any – I mean, that's generally going to be the case regardless. But I think in a year that – with everything that went on last year, I think the veteran teams were the teams that were the in place to deal with all of the various curveballs that got thrown everybody's way. I think they were better equipped to deal with that.
So there's part one of my conversation right there. You see how we kind of ended there talking about the youth on the side of on defensive side of the ball. Also brought up COVID in 2020, you know, being parts of the issue. Again, don't want to make any kind of excuse for the Raiders. There's really no excuse. There's a lot of different elements that went into play into their 2020 season. But still, most of the teams in the league had to deal with, actually all the teams in the league had to deal with COVID. And a lot of the teams in the league had to deal with injuries. I know no other team in the league had to deal with a move from Alameda to Las Vegas. But still, I mean, it's just part of it, and that's kind of what they knew they were in for. So don't want to make it sound like it's an excuse, but definitely don't think that the Raiders are not at least trending in a better direction than they were back in 2018 when John Gruden was first on the sidelines for the Raiders when they went 4-12. I mean, hell, 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, it is an improvement. It's not where Raider Nation wants it to be, and it's not where it should be. It should be better than that, but it is trending in the right direction. Again, this is going to be a year where they got a lot of expectations. It's all up to them to go ahead and fulfill those expectations. But that's just part one of my conversation. Part two of my conversation will start up basically where we ended off right there, talking about the youth on the side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and how things could change possibly in 2021. Before I get into all that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. College hoops, that's over. Matter of fact, Baylor had their victory parade on Tuesday in the city of Waco celebrating their national championship. But the NBA is going strong. Baseball, Major League Baseball, I love baseball. It's going strong. Of course, hockey's going on. They got UFC. They got big cards all the time. Boxing has big cards all the time. Whatever it is that you think you can get your gamble on with, betonline.ag can help you get your gamble on with. They can help you get off the sidelines and actually get into the action. Open up a free account today at betonline.ag. When you make your first deposit, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 50% welcome bonus. So no matter what you put into your account, say you put $200 in, you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get an extra $100 just like that. So you have $300 total to go ahead and get your gamble on with. So betonline.ag, online sportsbook experts. If you're on social media, check them out at betonline_AG. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Again, betonline.ag. Segment number three, part two of my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor. That's coming up next.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to jump into part two of my conversation with Vinny Bonsignor from Inside the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio 920. Just picking up exactly where we left off, talking about youth on the defensive side of the ball. Vinny's going to open things up, just kind of talking about expectations and growth of the team and getting into all kinds of conversations, including the draft and just a lot of different things. So here we go. Here's part two of our conversation. Vinny Bonsignor and myself from Inside the Huddle, Raider Nation Radio 920.
And even if you look at the Raiders, it was their offense that played pretty well, pretty darn well.
Right.
You know, of course, he could improve, but a veteran offense played much better than what was a very young defense. So there, I would think that that has to have that had to have had played a role in some of that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. I think that we'll see a lot of improvement from a lot of these younger players going into this year. I think that if they have a full training camp, and I say if because, well, it's still kind of up in the air, if they have OTAs, if they have rookie mini camp, if they have, you know, abilities to gather with each other and get on the same page outside of Zoom calls, I think that that's going to help. And, you know, they have a lot of youth on the team. It's been said for years that, oh, John Gruden just wants veterans. Well, he has a young team. He has a very young team, guys that could be difference makers if they figure it out, you know, but they've got to figure it out. And really the only way to do it, I don't know about you, I'm a guy who learns by doing things. I'm a guy who learns by doing things and failing and knowing, hey, I can't do that again. This is how I've got to improve on that. And I feel like a lot of the players that the Raiders have are exactly that. So they've got a lot of work to do. You know, Jonathan Abram, for example, I point him out because he's got to find a way to stay on the field. For 2 years in a row now, he hasn't been able to stay on the field consistently. So he's going to have to play a major role. You know, and Damon Arnett's going to have to figure out how to tackle without getting a concussion and without, you know, banging up his arm and his wrist and, you know, get a little bit stronger in the weight room. You know, Trayvon Mullen's going to have to play better than he did last year. He played really good, I thought, his rookie year, and I feel like he was only average his you know, second year in the league. So there's a lot of guys that need to take steps forward. I think Gus Bradley, you mentioned it multiple times, I think Gus Bradley coming in is a guy that's going to help those guys kind of figure it out and get more comfortable in that defensive scheme. But all in all, man, the team still has a lot of work to do. And the one thing I'll say also about the draft, you mentioned, you know, what my overall feeling was. I will say, you know, they traded off some assets, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, and among others, to get multiple first-round picks. They had 5 first-round picks, and right now, to this moment, we know that Josh Jacobs is a hit. 2,000-yard seasons. We know Clelin Ferrell works really hard. We know that he's improved in the run game. He's good at, you know, stopping the run. You could tell when he's in there, he's a good player. But he's always going to be judged by being pick number 4 overall. We really don't know if those 5 draft picks are going to work out in the long run. You're still, I mean, it's still early. Like you mentioned, it's too early to tell. But Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnett, that's still incomplete. So this year they're going to have to prove a lot.
We're talking to Q Myers, our good friend. You can follow him at yourboyq254. Okay, so of those young players, as we move ahead to next year, who in particular are you fascinated about seeing the growth and the development? And what do you want to see from some of these guys?
You know, I mean, honestly, Damon Arnett is one of the guys that really stands out to me the most because I remember the training camp hype. I remember how excited the team was about him and how he was a day one starter. And Vinny, I mean, they didn't even make Trayvon Mullen a day one starter. You know, they had him come in here and there periodically, and then finally when they felt comfortable with him taking over, that's when they felt comfortable to move on from Gerrion Conley. But they didn't give him the day one start. Damon Arnett, they said, hey, that's an old school Raider feel. He's one of those guys that could play like we used to play back in the day and really beat a guy up on the line of scrimmage and make him work. And I've talked to Ohio State guys. Like, Damon Arnett was key to their success defensively. Of course, you had Jeffrey Okuda, who was defensive back number 1, but they said, hey, he wasn't going to be playing as well as he was without Damon Arnett. So I'm expecting this guy to have a little bit more edge to him and hopefully be a little bit more healthy. He's one of the guys that really stands out to me in a major way that I would love to see him really succeed and really take that next step and show why he was the number 19 overall pick. As many people thought it was a reach when they drafted him, you know, it's like a lot of people hadn't heard of him or didn't hear the name associated with the first round and thought, oh man, that has to be a reach. Not necessarily, just because we weren't talking about him doesn't mean he wasn't a first round pick. It just means he wasn't on our radar or my radar. But he could be a guy that could really stand out in a major way. I'm excited about him, and I'm excited about what Corey Littleton, who's a free agent, obviously, a year ago. I'm excited what he could do with Gus Bradley. Can he take that next step and show why the Raiders brought him in, what they saw in him when he played with the Rams, what he could do and bring that and kind of be the big-time playmaker that the Raiders thought they were getting when they signed him a year ago?
What about Henry Ruggs?
Henry Ruggs is definitely an intriguing guy. You know, he's definitely a guy that I want to see a lot from. I also want to see if John Gruden has a better game plan on how to use him this year. You know what I mean? I don't know if they quite were on the same page as how to use him or if it was Henry Ruggs just wasn't, you know, quite ready to be an NFL pro or a combination of both. You know, and maybe Derek Carr wasn't 100% trustworthy in getting him the rock immediately, but The guy has so much speed, and you saw what he did, the playmaking ability at Alabama. Just get him the ball. Find out a way to use him. You know, Gruden said that that's their Tyreek Hill. He said that he reminded him of Cliff Branch. Well, use him, man. I mean, I'm not going to buy a Ferrari and then drive it like a minivan, man. If I'm going to buy a Ferrari, best believe that thing, the tops are coming off, and I'm letting that thing zip down the highway, man. I mean, that's what I'm doing with it. I might get multiple tickets, but I'm going to let it rip if I'm going to have a Ferrari. Got to let it rip, man. I'd love to see Henry Ruggs out there and really active in the offense, and that, I think, is something Gruden, Carr, and Henry Ruggs all need to get on the same page this offseason.
Yeah, and I have a little theory on that. I think they realized that there were, you know, Henry Ruggs was a, you know, even though he was a 12th player picked overall, you hate to hear there were some development aspects to his game, but there were. And you could go back to college to understand that. There were parts of his game that he needed to put together and work on. And I think the Raiders wanted to get that part of it, that get that foundation built before they threw even more onto his plate. Just my opinion, yeah. That I think that they wanted to get something in place before they started adding on to it. And I think you're going to see more things being added on to or added to his plate. And I'm with you. I think it's time to unleash Henry Ruggs. And part of that's going to be on Henry Ruggs understanding the game, the playbook and concepts. So we'll see, but I'm fascinated by Henry Ruggs as well. I'm going to throw a couple of names at you, Q, before we get you out of here.
Okay.
Elijah Vera Tucker and Richie Grant. That is Mel Kiper's mock draft, latest mock draft. Those are the picks that he has going to the Raiders at 17 and at number 48 in that order. Elijah Vera Tucker, the offensive tackle, could play guard, but will probably play tackle if he did get drafted by the Raiders. And Richie Grant, your thoughts?
I mean, I think that offensive tackle and safety makes a lot of sense, period. You know, I think Tucker is a heck of an offensive tackle. I think he could do some really good things. I know that the Raiders were in attendance when he had his pro day. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, again, it's an area that they're going to need to address. You know, we talked about this a few times. I would not be shocked at all if it was offensive tackle. You could put anyone in there. You could put Vera Tucker in there. You could put Darisaw in there. You could put Jenkins in there. I think you could put any of those guys in there and then go back and say, hey, Richie Grant in the second round, Javon Holland, second round. I mean, there's safeties that you could put in that position. I just think that it's obviously where the Raiders need to go to solidify. They got to come out of this draft with a big-time offensive tackle. They need to come out of this draft with a big-time safety that makes plays. That's really what I want them to do, Vinny. That's my biggest, I think the highest on my wish list is if you're going to get a safety, get one that in college created turnovers, because they'll take that ball hawking skill from college and they'll translate it to the next level, because that's what they do naturally. Javon Holland might be the best guy. He had, what, 9 interceptions in 2 seasons? I think that that's a successful safety. That's a really, really good guy that may be available in the second round. The Raiders need turnovers, man. When they were going to the playoffs, when they went to the playoffs in 2016, it wasn't because their defense was lights out. It's because their defense was opportunistic. They created turnovers at the ideal time. The safeties, Reggie Nelson, old man Reggie Nelson, had a bunch of interceptions. They were able to cause strip sack fumbles. I mean, there was times where they came up with the big play right when it was needed the most. I would love to see a ball hawk and safety, whoever you decide that's going to be in round 2, great. And an offensive tackle in round 1, I'd be okay with that too, because that's area of need, obviously, for them.
Yeah, and the Raiders were just downright horrible at turning the ball over last year. I'm looking at it right now. I think it was 26 total.
Yep.
Which was just, or takeaways. No, I'm sorry. It was even worse than that. 15 takeaways last year.
There
that
you go.
Is not going to get it done. And they turned it over 27 times. So yeah, it's that's not going to get it done. And that's first and foremost. And I think part of that is getting to the quarterback, making life difficult for that quarterback. Sacks, strip fumbles, forcing, interceptions. It's got to start up front. They put a lot of money to achieve just that very thing. We'll see if it all comes to fruition. Q, thanks so much for spending some time with us in the huddle. Always appreciate the insight. Thank you so much, man. Have a great day.
Hey, no problem, man. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
You got it. That's Q Myers, our good friend.
So there it is right there. That's the full meal deal. Part two of my conversation with Vinny Bonsignore. It's always nice to be inside the huddle on Raider Nation Radio 920, do a little guest hit. Usually I've been doing them on Tuesdays with Vinny. It's a lot of fun. Also, of course, ESPN Las Vegas with Steve Cofield, Cofield and Company. That's a lot of fun as well. I probably get a little bit more excited for that than I even do Raider Nation Radio. But either way you look at it, man, it's fun to be, you know, on the airwaves there in Vegas. Also, earlier I mentioned that you can be on the lookout for that Vegas Nation podcast as well with Heidi Fang. That should be released sometime today. So I got Vegas covered. You can't say that your boy ain't grinding in the 702, ain't grinding in Vegas. I'm making that happen. So either way, Raider Nation, hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. Hopefully you enjoyed Inside the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and you do it on the regular. Definitely check him out on Twitter as well, just because he's always got a lot of good tidbits and stuff about the Raiders at Vinny Bonsignore. So much appreciation to him for even having me on his show. That's all I got for you today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have more calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Of course, we'll have more news and notes of the day, and we'll get some more conversation going. Probably have some more draft talk, have some more Raiders roster talk. There's a lot of stuff we'll have to get to, and we'll do it on tomorrow's show. And then on Friday, as I mentioned, Marquette King, former Raider punter, he will be on the show, as I got to talk to him on Monday evening. Really, really good conversation. I cannot wait till you get to hear it. I think you'll really, really appreciate that. We'll finish off the week really strong with that on Friday. So that's how we roll. So Raider Nation, stay safe. Do what you got to do. Take care of your family. If you can get that vaccine, go ahead and get that vaccine. If that's what you choose to do, wear your mask, social distance, wash your hands. You know, all that good stuff. Like I said, man, just stay safe. However you stay safe, make sure you do that. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.